This is all the background picture. Jesus sort of knew them. He has come to know them, and Andrew has visited where Jesus was staying and observed him and must have conversed with him. It didn't really say that he began his public ministry. Maybe he just privately conversed with him. And he knew there was something about him. Remember how his mother knew that Jesus was special, the way he talked. He hasn't even healed a single person yet. You could tell a person's future by the way they talk. You could tell how far a person will go with God now by hearing how a person talk about God now. You know how a person will be in the future with God by hearing what he is today with God. And Jesus must have talked about things of God. He must have a depth of relationship with God. And these people who came to Jesus privately, now they didn't follow Jesus because of the miracles. Later on, there were multitudes who followed Jesus because of the miracles. And they didn't last. But this group followed Jesus because something in them tell this must be the Messiah. And this person knows God. I don't want to follow that person just because he has miracles. Thank God for the miracles. But I want to follow this guy because he knows God. There's no miracle yet. And when Andrew had spent some time with Jesus, he went to look for his brother Peter. Now Peter had not met Jesus before. He has not called them to the full-time ministry yet. See, sometimes when we have only one of the Gospels, we have a wrong picture. And I hear sometimes some preachers talk about how Jesus just came and they don't know him and he just said, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. There are a lot of background that we need to compare the scriptures. Jesus was acquainted with them. In fact, when Andrew has gone, and Andrew was a type who do a lot of witnessing work, and he's the personal guy, and he came and brought Peter to Jesus, and as Jesus saw Peter coming, he says, "You are Simon." I say, hey, who told you about me? then Jesus says, "You shall now be called Peter." Jesus straight away named him. Look at chapter 1. It says in verse 42, "You are Simon." He did not say, "Are you Simon?" Sometimes some translators like to take out the miracles. No, "are you" and "you are" is different. "Are you" is a question. Jesus was giving a word of knowledge. "You are Simon Barjona." Now, some of you may be thinking, well, you know, Andrew may have told him. But wait a minute, even if Andrew told him, how would he know that that was Andrew's brother? He hasn't seen him. So he had a word of knowledge, and he had a word of wisdom. He saw into his future, and says, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." There are not many strangers whom you meet for the first time change your name. This is some kind of a guy. Was Peter converted straight away? He was not. He was not fully convinced yet. Until something else began. Now, this is all the private ministry of Jesus, which was one of the most important ministries in his life. Remember, if you're called by God to a ministry, every one of us have a public and private ministry. In fact, the public is built upon a private. What you do privately manifests in the public. There are always a twofold call to every ministry. Some things that you have to do privately, some things that you have to do publicly. And we need to discern. Sadly, some ministers of God called to the full time are only concerned about what God told them to do publicly. And they forgot or neglect to do some things privately. Some years down the line, they will pay the price for it. Jesus has a twofold call. One in private to his disciples, one in public to the crowds that he has announced. So here we have in the Gospel of John that Jesus doing his private ministry. Now, cross-reference to the Gospel of Luke. What actually happened before he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men"? We're just giving an example of how important it is to compare scriptures in all the four Gospels. In chapter 5. This was what took place. Luke gives a detailed picture of that. In chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke, verse 1. Now so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing there by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now he had already met Simon earlier. He changed Simon's name. Remember, that was the Gospel of John. Now he was acquainted. Andrew has been to where Jesus was. Now he has come down to the area where they sort of live. And then remember here also in chapter 4, in the background, that in chapter 4, verse 38, he was possibly even, he was actually staying in Simon's house. So don't have the impression that Simon, Peter and Andrew went to the full time straight away when they met Jesus. They definitely had a call, but Jesus had to work on them. Jesus has to work on them. In chapter 5, as he went into the boat, which was Simon's, he told Simon to take it out to land. Simon was like his friend by now. He was staying with Simon and staying with Andrew, but he has never called them to the ministry yet. And what happens is, after he stopped speaking, and in fact, the fishermen didn't have any fish. That day was a bad day. And here is Jesus. Jesus used his boat. And how many knows that when Jesus used something that belongs to you or asks for something of your life, he pays you back? He's a good paymaster. Now, if Jesus asks for the use of your car, he asks for the use of your van, asks for the use of your building, asks for you or something, if Jesus requires of it, you never come out short. He doesn't shortchange you. So he sits in this boat and he teaches and he has used his boat. Now he's going to pay him back. And remember, Jesus owns the world. When he came, he functioned in that authority. He could take back. Because he had no sin in his life. He could take back what belonged to God that the enemy has stolen. And so he just turned around after his preaching. In verse 4, he said to Simon, he says, let down your net. And Simon, as usual, in verse 5, always contradicting, said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now you ask us to throw the net down. See, what Simon didn't know, that while Jesus was preaching, the fishes also gathered around the boat probably to hear his preaching. And so, there was a school of fish all waiting there. They must have been hearing the preaching. And they were going to sacrifice their lives to be part of this story. When he had let down his net, they got such a big catch. As I said, it was not only St. Francis of Assisi who preached to the fish. You know about the old story. I'm not sure whether it's true or not. But definitely those school of fishes must have been nearby. There were lots of them. And it was so much in verse 7 that the boat began to sing. That is called give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over. Running over but not sinking. And remember how in Malachi, the famous scripture that all ministers quote, you know, bring your tithes and offerings to God, and he says that you will have no room to receive. It looks a bit negative. What do you mean no room to receive? It means that you just overflow until all your rooms are so full, you got to say, I got no more room to receive. And there's no more place. And if they were a little bit greedy, they were all having wet. Because the boat was sunk. They were beginning to sing, and God knows how much to bring in. Just one more ikan merah finish. So, they were beginning to sing, and look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down and said, Jesus, please go away. Funny man. Here he had this miracle. He heard Jesus. He acquainted with Jesus. And Jesus was staying in his house. He said, Jesus, go away. Not everybody responds to God the same way. And then, the reason was in verse 9. He says, they were all astonished. Jesus faced well. Say, Jesus faced well. And when that happened, in verse 10, look at what Jesus said. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Hallelujah. Not with nets, of course. Then verse 11. So they brought their boats to land. They forsook all and followed him. So if you have a call to full time, study that very carefully. God will demonstrate his ability to provide for you. He has his ways to encourage us to show forth in our lives that God is able to provide. And he'll provide in such a way that we are convicted like Peter, that look at him, he says, I don't deserve this. I'm a sinful man. See, God blesses beyond what we deserve. That's his love for us. He blesses us because of his great love for us. So, there was a progressive development of his full-time call. It was not a sudden thing. Even the Apostle Paul, when he had a sudden call in Acts 9, he recognized as he fellowshiped with God. In Galatians 1, he says he was called from his womb. From the womb, not his womb, his mother's womb. But that sudden call did not prepare him. He had to spend some time in Galatia, in Arabia, in Damascus. He was unknown by faith. And it was some time later that he started his ministry. Call in Acts 9, sent forth in Acts 13. Acts 11 opened door for him. There is the Apostle Paul. So there is a progression in the call of God. And usually our advice for people who are called to the ministry, if they are in the business or in some sort of studies, etc., our advice to them is, under general circumstances, general means general teaching from the word, it does mean that you do things properly. If you've got 3 more months to complete your degree, complete it first. You will not regret what you do. 3 months delay is nothing, and God will not sort of do things in a haphazard way. He's a God of order. Sometimes in our youthful zeal and anxiety, we do things that later, 20 years' time, we regret. The same like a businessman who is called. God will not just have you throw everything in and throw the towel in and leave somebody with some of those debts and some of those things. Everything is so messy, you leave behind a bad testimony. There is what I call a logical spiritual progression. Now, that is what I call generally. Sometimes, I have to give room for exception. There may be exceptional cases, right? But generally, there are those principles that go by. Now, here we are talking about Jesus' background work. You notice that Jesus purposely go to a certain place to look for disciples privately. Here and there, all through in the Gospels, the early part, until he got all those 12. So, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, his private ministry continues. In verse 43, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. You know why he wanted to go to Galilee? He was also not only looking to preach publicly, he was looking for some people whom God sent to his life. It's important for us to recognize that sometimes God ordained for you to do some things privately. I do not know in Jesus' life how precisely it operates. Maybe he may have a certain vision of what those people look like. Maybe when he met them, then he has that sense that was the person that the Father would have him choose.